Hello out there, and welcome to Work with Miles Okazaki, where I share a few things I've picked up over the years as a guitarist and composer in New York City. If you like what you hear, you could go over to Patreon and become a member for a very small fee and have access to video versions of all of these episodes and others that aren't included here. Download materials such as sheet music and exercises, and have the ability to ask me questions directly and request topics for new episodes. This program focuses on the guitar, but goes into many other areas, so there should be something for everyone. And the show starts now. Welcome back, and let's get to work. So, we've got a question here from member David Garcia. Hi, Miles. Can you comment on your right hand picking technique? I know you learned from Roddy Jones, but in looking at others with similar technique, there is a variance on pick orientation. Is the tip oriented perpendicular to the point of your first finger, or is it parallel? Okay. A side view would clarify my question. Thank you. Okay, so thanks for the question, David. I think what I will do here is start a new series on picking. This is something I was thinking about doing anyway, but it's kind of a big topic, so this may be another big one. But a lot of people are very curious about picking, and of course it's, in my opinion, the most important aspect of playing the guitar, because that's where the sound is generated from, is from your right hand, or if you're left-handed, your left hand, the picking hand, right? So first of all, holding the pick. Now, I'll give a bit of a background. My picking technique, when I started out, was just kind of homemade. Like, I just did whatever I could do. And then when I started studying with Rodney Jones here in New York, this is in the late 90s, he showed me some things about what he learned from George Benson and Barney Kessel and some other people. And his picking hand. Now I'm going to move the camera a little bit so you can see my picking hand a little better. His picking hand is really down here like this. If you look at Rodney Jones, he has a page on Facebook where he's always playing these like half hour long improvisations. It's really great. I mean, it's amazing. But he's down here like this and picking from below the strings, picking up like this. So this is very much influenced by George Benson. And it's, I think of it as like, well, you can kind of see your palm when you're playing. When you look down, you can see the inside of your hand here. Now the actual orientation of the pick, as it was in the question, that I believe, I mean, I'm not exactly sure how Rodney does it or George Benson, but it's close to this, which is where the pick is coming out of my finger, parallel to the finger, not perpendicular, but parallel. Now, some people will do it more of an angle, but I do it parallel here. And then I have the thumb at a right angle. So let's see if I can get it to show. There we go. So the thumb is actually at a right angle to it, and the finger is at a right angle to the thumb, pointing down. Looks like this. So my thumb and my finger form a kind of a 90 degree angle there, and I'm holding the pick like that. Now, if I have to do something really extremely hard rhythmic, like not difficult, but I mean like hard, hitting the strings hard, like I'm playing with no amp and playing something like rhythm guitar, that type of thing, then I'll probably put two fingers on the pick like this. But for normal playing, I'm just having it here, okay? So that's my position of the pick. It's not for everybody, but it's something that I developed. Whereas before I was resting my hand on the bridge more and picking more like this, which is more like if you look at Pat Metheny or somebody like that, they have more they're more sort of operating from a fulcrum of the wrist. And this type of picking is operating more as a fulcrum from the elbow. And the motion is more like this kind of a motion, a waving kind of a motion, as opposed to back and forth chopping. Kind of think of this as chopping, like you're chopping with a knife, you know. So that's, you know, that's just how I do it. I find it to be very versatile because I want to have good control with the pick. And so that's what I think about good rhythmic control and good tone production and good like forceful accents and stuff like that. It's hard to get forceful accents when your fulcrum is so small like this. But that is this resting the hand on the bridge is very good for very delicate playing and very detailed playing. And sometimes I will do that, you know, when I need that kind of nuance. But I want to be able to have a fairly free kind of stroke. So I'm going to show a couple of exercises that I will oftentimes when I first get a student and I want to see how they pick, I'll just see if what they do with these particular things. So I'll say, okay, let's just pick one note. I'll say middle C here. And just play me alternating. And now accent in threes, like triplets. And the goal here is to try to get the upstroke and the downstroke to be equally strong. So if you're listening to it, you can't really tell which is which. Slow and then just listen. I'm thinking about the accents as being maybe like 75% and the unaccented being like 25%, something like that, in terms of the volume. There's an earlier video I did on dynamics with picking that is somewhat relevant to this. Now my wrist is not touching the guitar. The only thing that's touching the guitar body are the backs of these fingers. There's different ways of doing this. Some players have more straight fingers here, like Adam Rogers has kind of straight fingers like this. I tend to just kind of let my fingers rest on here because that gives me some variability about how far away I put the pick like this. It could be with a pick guard on the guitar or not, it doesn't really matter. Other patterns as well. You know, whatever. That's a little pattern seven. So the other thing, now once we establish that as sort of like a warm-up, the other thing is two strings now. What do you do on two strings? So my basic question is if you have two and two, like what is the picking pattern that you use for that? And I see basically three options. I'll do it like this, just to make it more interesting. Just two notes and two notes. I'm just playing F, G, B flat, C. Now you could do all downstrokes. And what I'm looking at is the top of my thumb right here, like the top of my hand, and I'm seeing how many motions it goes through. Looking right here. So this is for efficiency. You know, if I want to be efficient without losing tone and articulation. So I'm talking about articulating every note, what are the different ways to do it? Obviously, I could do low. I could do legato, but that's not, I'm not really talking about that here. I'm talking about the different ways of doing it, articulating every note. Okay, this is four motions. One, two, three, four. One, two, three, four. One, two, three, four. Okay, then I could do just alternating. Now, if I look here at the top of my knuckle, my thumb knuckle, I can see I have two motions. One, two, one, two. I'm going down, up, down, up, down, up, down, up. Sort of symmetrical style, which is in my book, and I'll actually attach pages of my book to this series that are relevant. This is where everything is symmetrical. So if I'm coming down to a string, and by down I mean lower sonically, so this is going down. That's going down, right? Even though physically it's kind of like up, it's up this way, but I think of that as down musically, right? If I do that, any version of coming down is an upstroke, and then the opposite. That would be all upstrokes. But something like that would be down, up, up. Right? So I would stop. I wouldn't alternate there. I wouldn't go down, up, down, because to go down, up, down, I would have to come across the string and come back down again. So that loses a little bit of time there. So let's take something simple like this double stroke that I was doing alternating with here, with two motions on my knuckle. And that now I'm going to do it with this symmetrical style. So I'm going to go up, down, down, up, up, down, down, up. Because when I come to the D string, I'm moving downward, you know. I'm moving to lower notes. So I'm moving to a lower string, which means I use an upstroke. And when I go to the G string, I'm moving to a higher string, which means I use a downstroke. And then otherwise, I'm just alternating. Up, down, down, up, up, down, down, up. And if you look at my knuckle there, you'll see it's just one motion now. Okay. Now, you notice that it gets a little sort of like, it's hard to tell if you're really articulating all the notes and stuff like that. So there's a test for that. And the test is with accents. I got this from studying some drums and studying especially drum books like Charlie Wilcoxon's Rudiments book. And basically, you know, doing things where you accent each note in turn, you know. So we might play this four note thing, we accent the first note. Then we accent the second note. Then the third. Fourth note. Now the hard part I found is to bring the volume right down again for the next note. You don't want to be like, and where that, in that case the volume is just kind of going down for the whole, like, you know, loud, medium, medium, soft, soft, or something. It's kind of going down like this. You want to go accent, and then all the other ones are the same. That's control. That gives you better controls. If you can bring the volume down right away. Thank you. This type of exercise, whether it's that loop or any kind of loop, it could just be. And so on, you know, just making a little loop and then accenting each note. That is very useful for getting control of the pick and getting. If you do that, then you find that when you go back to play it normally, you've really solidified the articulation of each part of that phrase and stuff like that. So this is the beginning of a series on pick control, and I will get into much deeper into all kinds of exercises for expanding the control of the pick and the articulation with the pick. It's a big subject, and it's one of my main subjects that I like to study, so I hope you dig it. All right, see you soon. Well, that's it for today's episode. I hope you found it useful for your personal work. This podcast was produced by Ed Gavitt, with the original source being a video on Patreon. If you'd like to see this video, head on over to Patreon and search for Work with Miles Okazaki. If you go through a browser and sign up as a member, it's a very small fee. And if you like the convenience of the iOS app, it's just a little bit more. In any case, as a member, you have access to categories such as exercises for the guitar, things to download, things to practice, guided practice sessions where I practice and you play along, a category called the Language of Jazz where I go through standards and famous solos, transcriptions, listening sessions, and also a complete series on every composition by Thelonious Monk as it might be played on the guitar. I do detailed demonstration of material from my book Fundamentals of Guitar, and have prepared special exercises and software even for members of the site. Every Sunday we sit down with some Bach, take a look at some violin sonatas, cello suites, inventions, well-tempered clavier, things like that. We work on sight reading, we work on listening, exercises to train your ear, exercises to train rhythmically off the instrument. And then as often as I can, I sit down and do a mailbag episode where I go through listener questions and answer them directly. We're having a lot of fun over there, and I really hope you can join us. And thanks for joining us today on this podcast version and for your support of creative music. See you next time.